Welcome, beloved radio friends, to today's broadcast. I hope you had a good celebration of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the good testimonies coming in from listeners and also from people who listened to the audio on WhatsApp and Facebook. We have received great testimonies from USA, Australia, Europe, and Canada. All glory be to God. Our topic today is the implications of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The implications of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall take our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to verse 19. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the body? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for showing us mercy and giving us your only Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for conceiving the salvation plan and executing it for our benefit. Thank you for raising him from the dead and invariably giving us hope of resurrection. Grant that we may understand the implication and appropriate your divine provision for our good. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Yes, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has very many implications. Drawing from our texts, some people in Corinth were saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. They were not different from some of our people today. In addition, some people of today believe in reincarnation, a situation where one dies, he comes back to life as a child severally to several people, sometimes even in four places at a time. Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian Christians to demolish or debunk or counter this teaching and to show some of the implications of the teaching. He says that if there is no resurrection, then preaching is in vain. You cannot imagine this. The reputable and well men over the centuries, men, educated men over the centuries, had wasted their time preaching. Secondly, he says that our faith is in vain if there is no resurrection, which cannot be true. And thirdly, that we are still in our sins. Yes, that you are still in your sins. And the fourth thing he said is that means the dead are gone forever. The dead are gone forever. And the fifth, we are of all men and women most miserable. All this cannot be true. Believers are the most contented, peaceful, and happiest people on earth. Let me consider four implications of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Four implications. Number one, the resurrection reveals the identity of Jesus, that he is the Son of God. The resurrection reveals that Jesus is the Son of God. In Romans chapter 1, let's read from the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Romans chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says, and I read what is written there, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Do you hear that? Like concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by resurrection from the dead. Christianity begins where other religions end, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the tomb. Yes, other religions like Christianity may have a founder and have a founder's grave, but only Christianity has a founder's empty tomb. Some tombs are famous because of who they contain, but the tomb of Jesus is famous because of whom it does not contain. He was condemned because he said he was the Son of God. His resurrection proved he was the Son of God. G.B. Chapman, a servant of God, said, and I quote, "If you will not be convinced by his resurrection from death, you will not be convinced by nothing. You will not be convinced by nothing." Thank God I can shout over the radio, "Christ is risen." It is amazing to know that the prophets prophesied to disregard the sonship of Jesus Christ. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day I have gotten you." In the book of John, Jesus himself declared, John chapter 1, verse 29 to verse 34, Jesus himself declared that he is the Son of God. In the book of John chapter 25, he also declared that he is the Son of God. As a matter of fact, that was one of the accusations leveled against him, that he made himself the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 to 17, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The apostles said he was the Son of God. In John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31, John testifies that he is the Son of God. And reading from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 26, Apostle Peter said, "Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, the Bible says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." So one of the implications of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the confirmation of his identity as the Son of God. Number two, let's also speak of the injunction of baptism. The resurrection from the dead made baptism necessary as an outward show of one's salvation. In Matthew chapter 28, that's the popular commission. We call it commission. Matthew 28, verse 18 to verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 18 to verse 20. "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. The same thing you will read from Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to verse 16. Baptism is the likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is likened to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection is manifested through baptism. Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2 verse 12 says that baptism is our statement of faith that we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Number 3, the insurance of our own resurrection. Because he was risen, we can be sure that we will also be risen as well. Jesus said upon the occasion of Lazarus' resurrection in John chapter 11 verse 24 to 26, Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believes in me shall never die. Believe thou this? In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 states that our hope of resurrection is based upon the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Apostle Paul writes numerous times concerning the relationship of Jesus' resurrection to our own resurrection. These are contained in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 21, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to verse 8. And lastly, let's consider the certainty of judgment in the final day for all mankind. It will be like an inspection. Our Lord Jesus Christ makes this very clear in John chapter 5, verse 28 to verse 29. And Apostle Paul, speaking to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 to 31, begins to tell them that at the last day, every man, every woman will face the judgment of God, and people will rise unto everlasting life or everlasting damnation. Radio friends, these are the implications of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. To which side do you belong? Are you walking towards the resurrection unto life, or are you walking to the resurrection unto damnation? I pray that you will come to terms with these implications and be informed of all that they entail and make appropriate decisions for your life to the glory of his name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider the various implications of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that your people will become knowledgeable and prepare for this eventual thing that will come to all mankind, that we shall be inspected, and after the inspection, we shall receive, according to the dictates of the inspection, the appropriate remuneration for the life we lived here. Help our people, O God, our Father, to live right to the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.